Thanks so much for joining us today on WPR News. Larry Mueller here, and talking now about Olympic weightlifting and the story of Mary Tyson Lappin. She is a weightlifter. Mary's a weightlifter from Eau Claire, Wisconsin. She earned fifth place at the Paris Olympics. Mary also won silver at the 2023 International Weightlifting Federation World Championships and has won a number of gold medals in her career. As we talk with Mary, I hope you'll join in. What are your questions for an athlete who is at the Olympic Games? Are you interested in weightlifting? Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. Mary Tyson Lappin, welcome. Thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Hi, thank you.
Well, first, congratulations on your fifth place finish at the Olympics. What did you enjoy most about going to your, this was your first Olympics?
Yes, this was my first Olympics. There was a pretty long list of things I enjoyed. I was there for a full month, so there was a lot of things that I got to see just in the city and do, like, when it came to training and kind of, like, Olympic experience and kind of look at the village and what we had to offer there, what they had to offer us as athletes and whatnot. The opening ceremony was obviously really awesome. I actually got to do kind of something kind of fun. I got to teach Snoop Dogg how to weightlift. So that was kind of fun. I never really had that on my bingo card of what I was going to do when I was there, but that happened. Yeah. And then I just, honestly, I love competing. I was a little bit bummed with how I did at the meet, but I that's just how it happens. Sometimes you kind of hope that you do better and do the best you can on the day that matters, and sometimes you don't. So it was still a really great experience, and I'm glad and happy for the sacrifices that I've made to kind of make that team and whatnot. But yeah, overall, it was a really great experience.
Friends and family, any of them get to come along?
Yeah, so I actually had about, I think it was about 40 people came.
Wow.
So it was, like, with friends, family, my husband, a lot of my gym, my friends from the gym came, just weightlifting members in general, like, in the USA weightlifting community. We had a lot of really, like, just dedicated people. I think part of why so many people wanted to come was just because of the last Olympics being so, you know, no one could go, no one could be a spectator. So when this one was in a cool city like Paris, a lot of people wanted to do it. Yeah, it was good.
I wonder, you must have met athletes from many countries. Anybody in particular who maybe inspired you?
Well, I've kind of been on the same kick as everybody else in the probably the United States / world right now with, like, women's basketball. So I met Asia Wilson, who is, you know, obviously a really amazing basketball player, and she was really sweet and really nice, and she was really, you know, she kind of had that same type of attitude that we all had during the Olympics when it came to just being excited for competing for Team USA and excited about, you know, switching pins and things like that. And it was cool to see somebody at that high profile of an athlete that was excited to be at something that we were all in, because obviously being, like, in the WNBA and being such a star in that, in her own field, you know, having her this excited about something that we are doing was actually really cool. And it kind of made me realize, like, oh, I guess these are just, like, regular people, you know. They're just really, really good at the stuff they chose to do. So and she was probably the one I was most excited to meet.
Well, you're really good at what you do. And you have the most interesting history when it comes to the, you haven't always been a weightlifter. You were involved in other things in track and field.
Correct. Yeah, I did all sports growing up. My sisters and I am one of four girls, oldest of four girls. And my parents had us try pretty much everything just to see, you know, what we liked. And some stuff we liked, some stuff we didn't care for. And track and field was one of those things that my whole family was really into. And so I was very fortunate enough where it helped me pay for school and for college and whatnot. So that was something that I really enjoyed. And I had a pretty successful career in that sport. And then after I got done with college track and field, my plan was actually to take the summer off, and then I never got into it again. So basically what happened was I took that summer off and I felt really good, and I felt like I had kind of given my all. And so I really had no regrets as an athlete from that sport. So I switched my focus over into track and field and into coaching, the coaching side of it, rather than being an athlete. And that kind of made my transition from being an athlete to not an athlete a little bit easier, because I still got to be around the sport that I loved. And then about 3.5 years later, after I hadn't done anything athletic, I got a call from USA Weightlifting, and they wanted to talk to me about basically some lists that they had seen from when I was in college, when I was in track, and basically some videos that one of my friends showed them of how strong I was back then, and wanted me to try weightlifting. And I was like, I think I'm probably good. I've been pretty content with walking my dogs and just being like, you know, a normal working out person that doesn't work like super hard or lift super heavy. And it took probably like a 15-minute conversation to talk me into it. So I ended up kind of, they must be pretty good at talking into people into things, because it didn't take a whole lot. But I ended up, again, trying that. And basically right in the beginning, end of 2017, beginning of 2018 was my first meet. And yeah, now I'm not coaching track anymore. I am, again, fortunate enough to be able to, you know, finance the life that my husband and I live, and he works a good job, and I make some money in weightlifting. And so we have a pretty simple but put good life, and that's kind of what I've been doing now the last couple of years, is just doing weightlifting. So really good sponsors and good people supporting me, and that's kind of the plan for the next little bit here.
I'm wondering now, you coached at, I know you coached at UW Oshkosh. What did coaching teach you about yourself as an athlete?
So I think it's just like, so obviously there's different levels. So like when I was an athlete, I competed at Division I, and so I didn't have a ton of experience at Division III, which is what Oshkosh is. I learned very quickly that the best kids in Division III, the best kids at those schools in the, you know, the WIAC conference in Wisconsin, the best kids in those conferences could easily compete in Division I. So it kind of taught me, you know, that those types of athletes that will work that hard for not getting paid, but it's, you know, it's pretty cool, and it's almost more rewarding as a coach to see that. And so when I think of, you know, me getting into weightlifting late, and I think of me doing track for so much of my life and starting, like I said, weightlifting as a 28-year-old, I kind of think about those kids and the hard work that they put in, and the kids that I was teammates with and maybe didn't work as hard as the kids I coached, because they were kind of just there for the money, you know. And mm-hmm. I see these kids at Oshkosh that were doing it for free, just for the love of the game, you know. And so I try to kind of channel that when I'm working hard too, because I think it's important if you commit to something that you commit all the way in. And that's something that I saw every day with my kids that I coached. And that's why, honestly, it was so hard to leave, because they did such a good job and they worked so hard, and they had such a special place in my heart for so many years. And I really didn't want to leave, but I couldn't really coach and compete. It was too hard to do both. So
yeah, I want to talk about that whole process. I mean, you must have had to put a lot of work in to get that kind of success, and probably with some good coaching along the way.
Oh yeah. Yeah, no, I've had some really good coaches. My friend actually started coaching me when I first started weightlifting, just because he knew about the sport and he was a buddy of mine that I've had for a while. And then he was pretty busy, so I ended up having a different coach for a couple years. And then when COVID happened, I really wanted a coach that was super familiar with coaching remote, because back then in 2020, I was not really willing to leave where I was living. So my coach that I had for a while wasn't super into remote coaching, so it was kind of hard sometimes to communicate and whatnot. And a lot of coaches kind of specialize in remote coaching. So I found someone that I really, really trusted, and we started working together in April 2020. And he worked with me with my job, because I didn't quit work until 2020, well, I guess the end of 2021. And so he worked with me, and we kind of like made things work while I was still working full time. For a while there, I was getting my master's at the same time as lifting and working full time. So like, I've always been like very used to doing a lot at once. So I think sometimes even now I struggle with, you know, making sure I stick with the routine because I don't have as busy of a life as I used to. So I try to like, my husband would disagree with that. I think he would probably say that I find plenty of things to sign up for and do. But yeah, so I think it's just I've been used to a busy life my whole life, and now things are maybe a little bit more relaxed and whatnot. But that's kind of the plan, you know, is try to, especially up to the Olympics, was go all in and kind of cut the fat from the different things in my life that were not serving me and not, you know, not helping me be a better weightlifter. And like I said, unfortunately, that kind of meant my job, but luckily I was able to receive some funding with weightlifting and whatnot. So, like you said, I did work really, really hard to get where I am, and I plan on working really, really hard for a little bit longer and kind of see where we end up with that.
Yeah. I'm wondering if you have 4 more years down the road you're thinking yet for the Olympics.
Yeah, I'm not sure yet. Yeah, I mean, that's a really hard one because I think if the Olympics in 28 were not in L.A., I think it would be a super easy I'm done. But the fact that the Olympics are in our country, it's really hard to be, you know, to completely say no to it. So like I said, I'm just kind of like taking it day by day. There's a world championship next year for weightlifting in Norway, and I really want to do that. My family's like pretty Norwegian, and it's somewhere I've never been, and I think it would be a really cool trip. So I think that's kind of like my trip right now that I'm training super, super hard for. And I'll kind of take it basically year by year, kind of see. And if I'm feeling pretty good in, say, 2026 or the end of 2025, I'll kind of revisit if I want to keep training and whatnot. But I think the last Olympic cycle, it was really easy to say, okay, I have 4 years. I guess it was 3 because Olympics of 2020 were technically in 2021. But I think that was really easy to say, okay, I have 3 years to train really hard. The plan is to make the Olympics, and then we'll reassess. I think this year will be, this type of Olympic cycle will be basically year by year instead of that whole entire cycle. Mm. We'll just play it by year.
Listener called, couldn't stay with us, wondering how you and other weightlifters prevent long-term wear and tear on your joints and muscles.
Yeah. So I think it's actually like a pretty, like pretty big myth. I mean, of course, like we're going to have things that bother us and we're going to have, you know, issues maybe with body parts if you don't train correctly. But a lot of like the really cool things that a lot of people don't know, which is really like fun to teach, is like there are super awesome lasting things that will happen to our body that will actually make us like super strong as we age and whatnot. So obviously we don't want to train, you know, 7, 8, 9 times a week and train as heavy as we can every single day for the rest of our life. But there are things that if you are really careful and you have a good coach that, you know, listens to your body and you communicate with your coach, there are things that, you know, are actually going to help you age better. They're going to make you stronger. They're going to make your bones stronger and your muscles stronger. And you're not going to, you know, have such a hard time when you get older, if you say you fall or if you, you know, are doing outside work and things like that. So, like I said, I don't think it's the best idea to train as heavy as I trained for the rest of my life. But I think if you're smart about it, there's actually things that will help you as you get older.
What would be an example? Oh, sorry. I was going to say, an example of one of those things?
Of something that will help you as you get older?
Yeah.
I mean, I think something just as simple as like a back squat, you know, like I think people see the back squat, they see like the internet, they see social media, they see like the things that surface that are, you know, popular and whatnot. And you see these huge back squats and these huge people. And in reality, like there's a back squat you can do. You can just put an empty bar on your back. And if you practice like good form, like your body's still going to get strong with an empty bar. You know, you keep good technique and you keep good form and your legs and muscles and knees and all those things are going to feel really good. They're going to feel, I always like to think about it like a well-oiled machine, you know, if you don't work your body and work your joints, you're going to end up like the Tin Man, you know, and we don't want to be like the Tin Man in the world. So we find like, again, there's definitely a happy medium between lifting super heavy and, you know, maybe not making the best decisions as we get older when it comes to pushing our body too much. But I think that there's a misconception and thinking that you have to lift super heavy to be in the gym. I coach a lot of people that don't lift super heavy, and they just are constantly working on technique and, you know, just feeling better as human beings. So I think that you think about your body, like I said, like the Tin Man, and if you kind of oil it up and work it nice and do things to take care of it, then it'll help you as you get older, even if it's not much weight at all.
Let's talk a little bit more about the sport of weightlifting itself. There's, you know, what are the weightlifting movements, for example? You know, what goes on?
Yeah. So basically what it is a competition is consists of a snatch and a clean and jerk. So the snatch is the first lift. We get three attempts at the snatch. And basically what happens is the bar starts on the floor and you need to, in one fluid movement, put it above your head. So that's the first event. The second one, it's all in one day. The whole competition takes about 2 hours only. The second one is called the clean and jerk. And the clean and jerk, typically you'd be able to clean and jerk heavier than you can snatch. So you'll clean it. Basically, you take that bar from the floor. You're going to pull it up your legs, up your body, catch it on your shoulders with your elbows going through. Kind of looks like it's called basically a front squat where your elbows would be pointing through. You're holding it on your basically your shoulders. And then you get to take a short rest. I'm talking like a couple seconds. You readjust your hands, take a big breath. And then you're going to dip your bar and then drive it over your head. So, again, the difference in the two lifts is one is one fluid motion from floor to overhead. The other is two motions. One is, you know, the second one is going from the floor to your shoulders, shoulders to overhead. So, again, you get three attempts at both. At the competitions, the bar starts at the lightest weight. And it will end at the heaviest weight. So a lot of times there are people that will be done lifting by the time the heavier weights even start. And so you kind of have to have a coach that understands the competition and the counting of when you're going to go, when you should warm up, when it's going to be your turn and whatnot. So there's a 10-minute break between the snatch and the clean and jerk. Everyone takes their snatches, 10-minute break. Everyone takes their clean and jerks, and it's over. The way that it's scored is you take your snatch and you add it with your clean and jerk, and that's your total. At most meets, you can get a medal in the snatch, a medal in the clean and jerk, and a medal in the total. But at the Olympics, you can only get a medal in the total. So it's a lot of times people, I would say, are either a little bit better at the snatch or a little bit better in the clean and jerk. But the goal is obviously to be the best you can at both. So that's kind of how the competition works. Most people, I would say at my level, you don't really want to compete more than three times a year. Unfortunately, with the way that the qualification for the Olympics worked, we had to compete seven times a year, which was really, really not great. That's kind of what I touched on before. If you're trying to keep your body super healthy, I don't recommend lifting in seven meets in a year, especially when they're all over the world. But that's already happened. Like, that's not the plan forever again. So hopefully the qualification gets rewritten and keeps the athlete's health a little bit more in mind, because even mentally it got to be very draining. So
I would think so. Seven meets, and you had to all over the world you were running.
Yeah. So between April of 2023 and April of 2024, I competed in Argentina, Cuba, Saudi Arabia, Santiago, Chile, Doha, Bulgaria, and Phuket, Thailand. So I was in basically 370 days, I was in those seven countries. And yes, the competitions were tough because you have to lift as heavy as you can, and typically you wouldn't do it that often. But honestly, I think what really got to me was all that travel, especially because from where we are, obviously, like, the flights from here to the Middle East or here to Thailand are really not that enjoyable. So that was a lot of the stuff that got to me. But again, hopefully the next time we're not having to travel that much.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you must have air miles coming out of your ears.
I do. Yeah. Luckily, that helped a little bit with especially my husband's trip to Paris. I think his Paris trip was pretty much covered because of all that stuff. So that was actually nice.
Oh, man. And how would you describe the community, the weightlifting community?
I think it's really good. I mean, I have obviously, like, with I've been in it for a while, and I have, like, I lived in Wisconsin. I'm from there. I grew up there. I'm actually here for the week. But I live in Bloomington, Indiana right now, so I kind of have, like, communities in both places. But that's the nice thing about even on these really hard days I've found some really, really amazing people in the sport to support me and, you know, pick me up when I'm having bad days or remind me, like, you're doing a great job or remind me to be confident when I forget myself. So it really is a really, really supportive community. And I think even whether you just started and joined a gym and you have no idea what you're doing or you competed at the Olympics, people want to help you and they want to help you get stronger and they want to help you improve. I just think it's a really cool sport because everyone can do it. It's not, you know, it's not something that it's only for super strong people that are big. There's weight classes in the sport. So it's, you know, everyone can do it, whether they're super tiny and maybe they're not going to turn into a big, tall, super big person. There's some really incredible athletes that are very short and very small, and they're so incredibly strong. It's mind-boggling. And then there's, you know, men can do it, women can do it, you know, little kids can do it. There's elderly people that do it. So again, it's a really great sport. There's different divisions, there's different age groups, there's different, you know, everything. So everyone kind of has a space. So that's just it's a good sport for anyone to try.
Yeah. You know, this Olympics, there was a conversation about body positivity and how healthy, strong bodies don't always look the same. And I loved some comments I saw of yours relating to that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think that's just kind of the same thing. Going off what I just said is, like, there's plenty of bodies that don't look the same, you know. And I think that, again, with social media, like, I'm 33, so I grew up with not a ton of social media, thank goodness. And so as it got more popular, you start to see, like, you know, the Instagram models, and you see these women that, like, probably don't do a whole lot of working out, but probably spent some time editing photos or getting plastic surgery. And, you know, you see these things like that, and I feel bad, and I hope that girls and young boys and young girls don't see that and expect that to be, you know, realistic, because there's so many, like I said, like, great editing tutorials and editing features on phones now. So I think it's, like, with the Olympics, just super important to kind of use that platform that people had to promote that there are a lot of different body types that can be healthy, you know. I'm a super heavy weightlifter. I do regular physicals. I do regular, you know, appointments with my doctor to make sure that I'm healthy. I have family history that would say that I need to be careful, you know, with things like that. And I think that's important to kind of keep an eye on, and I do. And so my health markers are all good, and I try to stay healthy as I can. And I may not look like everybody else on the internet that has, like, you know, big followings and whatnot, but I think it's important for people, especially, like, big people in bigger bodies, to know that the gym is a really good place for them, whether they want to do weightlifting or, you know, just strength training in general, or just go to the gym. I think they need to know that they belong, because, I mean, it's just a good place. It's a good place to go, and there's a community in it, whether it's in weightlifting or in, you know, powerlifting or strength training or just regular gym goer. It's important to know that those places are for everybody, even if you look a little different.
Mary, it has been a real pleasure talking with you. I appreciate your time very much, and look forward to watching your career, Ben. See,
yeah, I really appreciate it.
It's been fun and really interesting. Thank you so much, Mary.
Of course, yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
Mary Tyson Lappin, weightlifter, just returned from the Olympics. It was really fun talking with her today. And hopefully I'll get a chance to talk with her again. We're going to turn our attention to curling next. I'm Larry Mueller.